Let's go to the Word of God. John chapter 1. This is our theme scripture for our grace series. Starting in verse 16, it says, "For out of his fullness, the superabundance of his grace and truth, we have all received grace upon grace, spiritual blessing upon spiritual blessing, favor upon favor, and gift heaped upon gift. For the law was given through Moses, but grace, the unearned, undeserved favor of God and truth came through Jesus Christ." Today I want to speak to you just for a few moments on grace is enough. Grace is enough. And I encourage you this morning to take notes. We have a note-taking culture here, so we put notes on the back of your welcome card. So all you have to do is bring a pen and you can take notes, or maybe you want to take notes on your smartphone, but we really encourage you to take notes. And as we've made our way through this series, we have discovered that grace is so much more than just forgiveness. It's so much more than salvation. It's so much more than just the kindness and the goodness of God. It's so much more than the power of God. And we have laid out an overview for grace. And it says that grace does three things for us. Number one is that grace saves us. Grace saves us. Ephesians 2 says, God saved you by his grace when you believed. When you put your faith in him, you were saved by grace. But grace doesn't stop there. Grace also sustains you. Grace sustains you. We said that he gives us grace for the race. Grace for the race. Grace doesn't just put you on the right pathway. Grace keeps you on that pathway. And then thirdly, we said that grace supernaturally strengthens us. Grace saves us, sustains us, and grace strengthens us. 2 Corinthians 9, the Bible tells us that God causes all grace to abound to you so that you might abound in every good work. God wants to give you all grace so that you can do all the things that he has called you to do. Now let's look in the Bible, 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter chapter 1, we'll be starting in verse 2. Bible says this, "May God give you more and more grace." Somebody say more and more. "May God give you more and more grace and peace." Another translation says, "May God give you grace and peace," or excuse me, "May grace and peace be multiplied." Somebody say multiplied. "May grace and peace be multiplied to you as you grow in your knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. By his divine power, God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence. And because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." More and more grace. The Bible tells us that we can have more and more grace, that we can live with a multiplied grace in our lives. John says that it would be grace upon grace, grace stacked upon top of grace, grace before grace and grace after grace, that we could live in an overflow of grace. And we have defined grace for this series as this. It is the immeasurable love. It is the unmerited favor and the unlimited power of God that enables us to live life God's way. It is the unmeasurable love, the unmerited favor, the unlimited power of God that enables me to live life God's way. And let me tell you, this is exciting news that God wants to give you more and more love. He wants to give you more and more favor. He wants to give you more and more power. That is exciting news today that you get to experience more and more of these things. But you say, how do you obtain multiplied grace today? How do you get more and more grace in your life? The Bible clearly tells us there that we get more and more grace as we grow and the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Bible continues on in verse 3, and it says, by his divine power, God has given us, everybody say us, everything we, say we. God has given us everything we need for living a godly life. You see, Peter didn't want you to think that the godly life was reserved for the apostle and the prophet and the pastor and the teacher. No, no, no. He wanted you to know that the godly life, the power to live the godly life, is reserved for you. It is available to you. That all of God's divine power, it's available for the construction worker. It's available for the teacher in the elementary school. It's available to everyone because that was God's plan. God made it available to us all. We have received all of this by coming to know him, the one who called us to himself by means of his marvelous glory and excellence, by his divine power. What is divine power? Divine power is unlimited power. What have we defined as unlimited power? The grace of God. So it is by his grace. You say, how do you know that he's talking about grace there? He says, because we have received all of this, and you can only receive grace. You can't earn grace. You can't work for grace. You can't manipulate your way into grace. The only way you get grace in your life is to receive the grace of God, because the grace of God is a gift. And you can't take a gift, you can only receive a gift. It says we have received all of this. All what? We have received all of his divine power. We have received all of his unlimited power. And how did we receive this? The Bible tells us once again, by coming to know him. You have received grace. You have received this grace upon grace. You have received this divine power. How? By coming to know him, the one who called you to himself and then supplied you with himself. He called you to himself and then he supplied you with himself. You see, you thought it was amazing grace just because it saved a wretch like me. No, let me just tell you, his grace is so much more amazing than that. His grace saves, his grace sustains, and his grace supernaturally strengthens us for the journey. You see, it's through him that we get everything we need to follow him. It's through him. So many of us are trying to follow him, but we're not going through him. We're trying to follow him on our own experience. We're trying to follow him according to our own faithfulness. We're trying to follow him according to our own wisdom and our own strength. But you see, it is through him that you are enabled to actually follow him. See, you don't get saved by his grace and then perfected by your grit. You don't get saved by his grace and then perfected by your grit. God isn't counting on your grit. He's counting on his gift. God's not counting on your work ethic. He's not counting on your faithfulness. He's not counting on you to figure it out. That's not what God is doing. No, instead, God filled you up with himself so that he's not depending upon you. He's actually depending upon himself. He put himself in you so that he could depend on himself to get out of you what he wanted to get out of you in the first place. The Bible says in Hebrews about Jesus that Jesus initiates and perfects our faith. So many times we want to thank Jesus for salvation, and then we want to come over here and we want to figure out how to live a godly life on our own. But you see, it doesn't work that way. Jesus initiates your faith. You believe because he believed. You receive him because he gave his life for you. He initiates faith. You didn't choose God. God chose you. And so he initiates the faith. But it doesn't stop there. This is a moving process. This is a thing that just keeps on going. He initiates the faith, but then he perfects the faith inside of you. That lets you know that salvation is not just a one-time thing. That the touch of God is not a one-time thing. It is not a one-time moment in our occurrence. No. It is a perfecting that is happening on the inside of you. Jesus initiates and he perfects your faith. How does that happen? How does he perfect your faith? The more and more you get to know him. The more and more you fall in love with Jesus, the more and more you get to know his character, the more and more you get to know his ways, the more and more you get to know his heart, the more and more you get to know his thoughts, the more and more you get to know him, he begins to perfect you in your faith. And as you grow in your faith, guess what happens? You get to grow in your grace. The more you know him, the more grace is available. You know, I don't know about you, but it encourages me to know that I control the amount of grace that's in my life. the power that's in my life, the love that's in my life, the favor that's in my life, I control that. Why? Because the scripture said, because as you know him more and more, you get more and more grace. As you know him better and better, you get more and more grace in your life. And so today we have to take responsibility for getting to know him, because we all want grace. We all want power. We all want to be sustained. We all want supernatural strength. We all want those things. And because we want those things, we have to say, I want to know him more. And as I know him more, he expands the capacity in my life to walk in the things that I was created to walk in. He says this, that as you grow in your knowledge, your grace grows in your life so that you can have everything you need. Say everything. So that you, come on, turn to your neighbor, say you. He's talking to you. Just make sure nobody thinks he's only talking to the Sunday school teachers and the small group leaders. No. So that you can have everything that you need for living a godly life. A godly life is nothing more than a God-like life, that you would be like God, that you would be walking around with the character of God on the inside of you, that you would be walking around in the way of God, in the principles of God, that you would be like God, his ambassador on the earth. Goes on in verse 4, and he says, and because of his glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires. Because of his glory and excellence. His glory is who he is. His excellence is what he does. Because of his glory, because of who he is, and because of his excellence, what he does, he has given you great and precious promises. And that great and precious promise is that he would give himself to you. That great and precious promise is that he would enable you to share his nature. Do you know enable? If you just look at the word, it is in. God comes in you to give you the ability to do what he wants you to do. He comes in you so that you would be able to live in victory. He comes in you that you would be able to conquer sin. He comes in you that you might be filled with joy. He comes in you that you might live in peace. He comes in you so that you might live in the overflow of love. He comes in you to enable you. He comes in you to get out of you what he wants to get out of you in the first place. That's the promise of God. That is a great promise. That God's not leaving it up to you to figure out. That is a precious promise of God. That he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put myself in you, and I am going to enable you, give you the ability inside of yourself through me so that you can live a godly life. That's grace. That's grace. God saves you from yourself and fills you with himself. That's grace. God saves you from yourself and he fills you with himself so that through his power you might share in his nature. Let me just tell you, that's a great promise, because there's nothing that you have ever done to deserve that kind of blessing. There is nothing that you have ever done to deserve to share in God's nature. There is nothing that you could ever do. It doesn't matter how many Sunday mornings you attend, how much of the Bible you read, how many hours you pray. There is nothing that you could ever do to earn the right to share God's nature. But God said, it is my promise for you. It is a great promise. It is a precious promise. And it is the only way for you to live a godly life. So I will come and I will enable you. I will put my spirit in you so that you can walk through whatever you need to walk through, go through whatever you need to go through, because I'm going to get out of you what I want out of you. And it has nothing to do with you. It has everything to do with me. That is grace. Grace. It's what grace looks like. Hear me this morning. Grace doesn't just save the sinner. Grace makes you a winner. Grace doesn't just save the sinner. Grace makes you a winner. It's what the Bible says in James 4:6. But he gives us more and more grace. He gives us more and more grace. I don't know about you, but just talking about grace, it gets me excited. Talking about the immeasurable love, talking about the unmerited favor, talking about the unlimited power, that fires me up. And then whenever I read a verse like this that says, no, he wants to give me more than I even understand now. He wants to give me more than I'm experiencing right now. He wants to give me more than I got right now. He wants more and more grace in my life. And it makes sense. The more grace you have, the more you win. Doesn't that make sense? The more grace you have, the more you win. The more you're living in love, the more you win. The more you're walking around in the favor and the blessing of God, the more you win. The more you are living in the power of God, the unlimited power, then the more you win. It just makes sense. And God wants to multiply that grace to you. God wants grace upon grace for you, more and more grace in your life. God's desire, God's will is to give you that. The desire of his heart is to give you more and more grace. And all you have to do is get to know him better and better, and he gives you more and more grace. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 1, starting in verse 9. He says, so we have not stopped praying for you since we first heard about you. We ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while, you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. There's another translation that says there that we ask God to give you complete knowledge of his will through spiritual wisdom and understanding. You see, I am convinced that sometimes we don't understand what God wants to do in us or through us because we don't completely understand what Jesus did for us. I'm completely convinced today that if we had a better understanding of what Jesus did, if we had more wisdom and insight and understanding of what Jesus did for you and what Jesus did for me on the cross, then we would have a greater understanding of what God wants to do in us today and what God wants to do through us today. You see, you have to understand that Jesus kicked the door of heaven wide open. That whenever he died on the cross and he said, it is finished, he kicked the door of heaven wide open. Jesus made it possible for us to inhabit heaven, and he made it possible for heaven to invade us. You see, when he kicked the door open, it wasn't a one-way street. He wasn't just opening it up so that you could have a mansion in heaven. No. When he kicked the door of heaven open, he said, now heaven is going to invade earth. Now heaven is going to invade his people. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And Jesus kicked the door open so that heaven could invade our hearts. See, he did not just come to earth to prepare a place for us in heaven. Instead, he came to prepare a place in us for heaven to meet earth. Did Jesus prepare a place for you? Yeah, he said, I wouldn't have told you if it wasn't true. Has Jesus come to prepare a place for you in heaven? Absolutely. But Jesus did so much more than that when he busted that door open. He came to prepare your heart so that your heart could be a place where heaven could kiss earth every day, so that heaven could flow in the earth every day. He prepared a place in you so that you could be a conduit of the presence of God and the power of God and the will of God, so that through your heart each and every day, heaven might invade earth. You see, it is the will of God, not just for you to no longer live in the gloom of your guilt, but for you to live in the glory of his righteousness. Is the will of God, not just for you not to live in the gloom of your guilt, but to live in the glory of his righteousness. We talked about it just a couple weeks ago. It's the great exchange that happened on the cross. Jesus took all of your sins, past, present, and future. He took all of your sins upon the cross, and on the cross there was an exchange. He didn't just take your sins so that you could be forgiven. There was an exchange that takes place. He took all of your sin, but then he imparted back to you all of his righteousness so that you can stand today, not in your own righteousness, but in his righteousness, you can live in the glory of his righteousness. It's the great exchange. We need to understand what happened on the cross. You see, it is the will of God, not just for you to be forgiven, but for you to live free. You see, Jesus took your curse. It was the curse of sin that said you would always be a slave to sin, that sin would always be your master. Jesus took that curse upon the cross, and what he did give you, he gave you freedom, because he was never bound by sin. He was never a slave. He was always free from temptation, and he lived in freedom. And so he went to the cross and he said, I'll take your curse and I will give you my freedom. And so whenever we start understanding what Jesus did on the cross, now we see what God wants to do on the inside of us. He wants to liberate us from fear and liberate us from addiction and set the captive free on the inside of us, and not just on the inside of us. He wants to do it through us in the lives of others. So you have to understand that it's the will of God, not just for you to live as a servant, but for you to live as a son, for you to live as a daughter of the King. It's the great exchange. You see, on the cross, Jesus took your distance from God, because you did not have access to the Father. You did not have personal access to God. And he took your distance and he gave you his closeness. And you see, we get to see this on the cross, because as Jesus was hanging on the cross, he said, Father, why have you forsaken me? Why have you turned your back on me in this moment? Because he took our place, because the Father was not living close to us. We were distant from him. But he said, Father, why are you doing this? Because he was saying, Son, it's the great exchange. I'm allowing you to experience their distance so that I can give them your closeness, so that they could 2,000 years ago walk down the street and know that my eye is on them, and know that my ear is turned towards them, and know that I will never leave them and I will never forsake them, that I will hold their hand and walk with them step for step. You see, God gave us the closeness of Jesus when he took our furtherness, distance from him. Amen? It's just the will of God. It's the will of God. And you have to understand. You have to understand. You have to have spiritual understanding. Just think about the word understand. It is under your standing, okay? It's under your standing. What are you standing on? You see, if you understand the right things, it means that you are standing on the right things. You are putting the right things under your standing. So I say, it is the will of God for you to live the abundant life. It's the will of God for you to live full and overflowing of love, of joy, of peace, of forgiveness, of kindness, of goodness, and self-control. It is the will of God for you to live in the overflow of the abundant life. But you see, you have to stand upon that. That is your standing. You have to understand, put it under your standing, that it's the will of God for you. Yes, you, as dysfunctional as you might feel that you are, as many mistakes as you feel like you've made, as far away from God as you might feel like you are, it is the will of God that he would put under your standing, that you would know that you were created to live grace upon grace, multiply grace. Grace upon grace in your life. More grace, more power, more love, more favor, more blessing. And whenever you stand upon that, that's when everything begins to change. Because it comes from your understanding. Here's what I found, though, that people don't want to understand the truth. People want to work for their standing. They want to work for their standing with God. They want to work for it, and so they want to make sure they're in this Bible study, and so they run from place to place, and they're trying to make sure that they're getting good standing with God. God, you see me this morning, I'm praying for 15 minutes on the way to work. God, you know, normally I listen to talk radio, but I'm turning on Hillsong this morning. God, do you see me? Hey, do you see me down here? I'm trying to work for some good standing. But let me tell you, when you're working for your standing, you will always go under. But whenever you get the right understanding of God's grace, that's when you get to go over. When you put the right things under your standing, that's when you get to soar over your fears, and you get to soar over your past, and you get to soar over your pain, and you get to soar over your doubt, and you get to soar over your frustration, and you get to soar over your confusion. Why? Because you're putting God's grace under your standing. You say, I'm not standing on my own work. I'm standing on the grace of Almighty God. It's under standing the right things. And the Bible tells us when we have this proper understanding, when we're standing on the right things, this is what it says in verse 10, when you have the proper understanding, then the way you live, Then, once you get the proper understanding of the will of God, when you get the proper understanding of what Jesus did for you, when you get the proper understanding of how God sees you today, when you get the proper understanding of the way that God feels about you today, when you get the proper understanding of what God sees in your future, when you get the proper understanding today of your place in the kingdom, when you get the proper understanding, then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. And your lives will produce every kind of good fruit. All the while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. You see, whenever we have spiritual wisdom and understanding, you see, we're not just saying words. When we say this declaration, when we start and we say, Holy Spirit, open up my eyes to see. Open up my ears to hear. You see, that's what I've said every day of my life. Every time I've opened the Word of God, that's what I have prayed. Why? Because I don't want to see with natural eyes. I want to see beyond the natural into the supernatural. I don't want to just hear with natural ears. I want to hear with supernatural ears. I want God to give me greater understanding. I want God to give me greater knowledge. Why? Because I'm trying to increase my capacity for grace. I'm trying to increase His love and favor and blessing in my life. And if I can get to know Him better, then I can expand grace in my life. But it comes from spiritual wisdom and spiritual understanding. And when I begin to understand what God's will is, when I begin to understand what He did through the cross, what He did through Jesus Christ, when I begin to understand His plan, it changes the way we live. Grace changes everything. You see, understanding grace allows you to live in such a way as to please the Lord and produce good fruit. I want to say this right now. Grace is not a license to sin. Grace is a license to overcome sin. I want to be clear. Grace is not a license for you to live the way you want to live. Here's what grace is. Grace is the authority to live the way God's called you to live. That's what real grace is. Real grace is for you to live a godly life. Real grace comes into your life so that it can change you and transform you. Real grace comes into your life so that you can be who God called you to be and you can fulfill the purpose that He's called you to fulfill in your life. And as you understand this grace, it lets you live in this way as you please the Lord and you produce good fruit. You please the Lord with your heart. You produce fruit with your hands. So what happens is that we please the Lord because our heart is in the right place, because we're living in grace. I'm not trying to work for it. I'm not trying to earn it. What an insult that would be for God if I'm trying to earn something that He tried to give me. You see, my heart is right with Him because I'm not standing on my works. I'm standing on His grace. I've put it under my standing. There is no hope for me outside of His grace. There is no future for me outside of His grace. There is no strength for me outside of His grace. His grace is what I am standing on. And because I'm standing on grace, trusting in grace, leaning on grace, because I am in grace, my heart is right with Him and I have the opportunity to please Him. But because I'm standing in grace, now my hands have the power to begin to produce good works and to produce good deeds and to begin to do things because I'm standing in grace and I'm not out here in my own trying to make it happen. I'm not trying to please God through good works. I've already pleased God because of grace, and because I'm standing in grace and I've already pleased the Father, now the power of God is moving through my life so that I can get out there and make a difference in the world. See, it's your faith in His grace. It's the key to you pleasing Him and producing fruit in your life. That's what Hebrews 11 says. And it's impossible to please God without faith. You can't please God without faith. But this scripture says right here that then you will live in such a way as you will please and honor God. So the only way to get there is faith. So when you put faith in grace, faith in His power, faith in His ability to sustain you, faith in His ability to lead you, faith in His ability to save you, faith in His ability to forgive you, faith in His ability to keep you on the path and give you everything that you need to overcome. Whenever you put your faith in that, then you have the opportunity, because you put faith in grace and you put it under your standing. Now you have the opportunity to please God and produce good works that you could have never produced on your own. And he closes out this verse and he says, all the while you grow. You grow. You grow in what? You grow in multiplied grace. All the while you grow in what? Grace upon grace. More and more grace as you learn to know God better and better. more and more grace as you know God better and better. I don't know about you, but I want more grace in my life. I want more of the unmeasurable love in my life. I want more of God's unmerited favor and blessing in my life. I want more of His unlimited power working in my life. And because I want more grace, it tells me that I need to get to know Him more and more. And as I know Him more and more, then His grace is activated and increased in my life so that I can fulfill everything that He created me to fulfill. I want to just give you three things as we close. Three things as we close. How do you grow in your knowledge of God? How do you grow in your knowledge of God? Because this now becomes the question. Because now you're sitting out there and you're like, man, I want grace. I want to live in this love. I want this unmerited favor and blessing on my life. And man, I want this unlimited power. I want that in my life. And so how do I get to know God better? How do I get to know God better? Let me just give you three things real quick as we close. How do we grow in our knowledge of God? Number one is this, the Bible. The Bible. Read the Bible. Read the Bible. Let me just tell you, it's important that you have a translation of the Bible that you understand. I don't care how sentimental and how sacred your great-great-grandfather's Bible is. It has been passed all the way through the generations. Whenever it says King James Version on the side and you can't understand anything that it talks about, and because you can't understand it, you don't read it, and because you can't understand it, you feel like that, well, there's something wrong with you. No, there's nothing wrong with you. It's just the fact that you don't talk thee, thou, highest, the mostest, and illeth, and oh my, you know, you don't talk like that anymore. It's not how you talk. You got to read a version of the Bible that's the way you talk. Now, there's a problem with that because the generation that's coming up right now, they can't spell anyway. And, I mean, they shoot me a text message, and I'm like, I have to write back, can you translate that into English, please? Because hey, you can't text me and leave out all the vowels and just figure out, I'm going to figure it out. You cannot do that. Got to lay it out there for me. You need a translation that you can understand. If you do not have a version of the Bible, if you do not have a translation of the Bible that you read and understand, today at our Connect booth, we have a Bible that we'd like to put in your hands. It's the New Living Translation. It's the translation that I read off almost all the time here. We want to give you that today. If you need a Bible that you can understand, do not leave here without that Bible. They will put it in your hand, and you can begin to read the Word of God, and you can begin to understand more and more about God because you've got a translation that you can read. Not only do you need a good translation, you need a plan. You need a plan. Don't let your plan be, I just drop my Bible and wherever it falls open, that's where I read. I mean, you get 3 days in Leviticus and Song of Solomon, you're never going to read your Bible again, okay? I mean, you'll be like, I don't understand what's going on. We're cutting heads off of goats and stuff. I don't know what is going on. You need to get a plan, and you need to stick to your plan. Find a plan. If you have your YouVersion app, if that's the way you read your Bible on your phone, they have all kinds of great plans for you to follow. Just get in their Bible reading plans that you can go through. Man, they have plans that you can read a lot of the Bible. They have plans that you can take you 100 days just to go through the New Testament. They have all kinds of plans for you. Or you can get on, you can just Google. You know, Google is an amazing thing. If you ever have a question, just Google it. Okay, a couple weeks ago, Pastor Denny, my daughter, Carolina Lee, who's 4, was with Pastor Denny, and he was asking everybody in the house, hey, do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do this? Do you know how to do this? And my 4-year-old says, well, Pop, have you Googled it yet? Because everything can be found on Google. If you need a Bible reading plan, just Google Bible reading plans. There will be so many that you can choose from. You can choose whatever you want. It will be there for you. You need a good translation. You need a good plan. And you know what else you need? You need a good partner. You need a good partner who will be willing to read the Bible with you. Somebody that will hold you accountable to your reading. You can hold them accountable for their reading, where you can discuss and explain the scriptures together. You need a good translation, a good plan, and you need a good partner. And just let me say this to you today. You cannot just read the verse of the day. Those are good reminders, but they will not feed your soul. You cannot just open up your app, open up your email, read the one verse of the day. They are great reminders, but they will not feed your soul. They are like a Hershey Kiss. It tastes really good, but it will not satisfy you. You've got to read the Bible. You've got to feed your soul the Word of God. This is what Romans chapter 10, verse 17 says, it says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you feed yourself the word of God, when you feed yourself the Bible, faith is awakened and strengthened in your heart whenever you begin to feed yourself the word of God. If you want to know God, start by reading God's book to you, the Bible. Here's the second way that we grow in our knowledge of God. We grow in our knowledge of God through instruction. Through instruction. Many forms of instruction. One is just faithfully attending church. Faithfully attending church. Every Sunday, somebody is going to be teaching you about the ways of God. Somebody is going to be teaching you about the love of God, the grace of God, the power of God. Somebody is going to be teaching you godly principles, and you make it a priority in your life that I'm going to come on Sunday morning. Why? Because I need instruction. What is instruction? Instruction is construction. It means that I'm in a building process. I'm in a growth process, and I've got to come for instruction if I want God to continue the construction that's happening on the inside of me. It's just like anything else. If you're trying to build something you've never built before, you take out the instruction manual. That's what church is, Sunday morning and now Sunday evening. Now we've got a 5 p.m. service. We've got three opportunities for you to come to church. And I am so fired up about what God is doing in the 5 o'clock service. Go ahead and put a clap on it right now. Come on, because I want to clap for it. Man, our 5 o'clock service has been amazing. And you say, why would you start a 5 o'clock service? Because we have some people that work on Sunday mornings, they can't come. They can't be here. So 5 o'clock is a time where they come to church. We have some people, their kids are off playing sporting events and different things. And so because they're out playing sport, they drive back in on Sunday morning. And they're here at 5 o'clock on Sunday evening. And we got some people, they just drink too much on Saturday night and they need more time to sober up. And let me tell you what, I go ahead, because they're in construction. And we're not judging anybody around here. We're not pointing fingers. I started another service so the people that want to stay out too late and still live a certain way, they can still get into the house of God. And I believe if they get into the house of God, that their life will be dramatically changed forever. But you've got to get instruction. Man, be here on Wednesday nights for our Grow You classes, where you can get specific instruction for specific areas in your life. We need to understand the role of instruction. And man, there's so many other ways. Man, you can read great books about the Bible. There are great books, man. Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Find a great book. We have a book cart out there. The reason we have the book cart is that so you can take that. Those are books that we have read, books that we have approved, books that we have put our stamp of approval on, that if you read those books, that good things are going to begin to happen in your life. You've got to get the right things in your eyes and in your mind. Instruction. Man, now there's podcasts. You can listen to every preacher in the world. Every preacher in the world. Right at a click of your fingertips, you can hear every preacher in the entire world. Every single week, I listen to between 4 and 8 sermons every week. And it's not so I can get up here and preach their messages. I know what some of you are thinking. No, I'm feeding my soul. I'm feeding my soul. Why? Because I want to grow in my knowledge of God. Why? Because I'm determined to have more and more grace in my life. So I'm growing in my knowledge of God. People are teaching me about God. People are teaching me about the principles of God and the ways of God, teaching me the word of God. And as they do, they're expanding my capacity for grace. And I'm saying, God, I want more and more grace in my life, more and more love, more and more favor, more and more blessing, more and more power. I want that in my life. And it comes through instruction because I'm growing in my knowledge of God. And the third way we grow in our knowledge of God is we grow through grief. We grow through grief. So that sounds a little odd. I got the Bible, I got instruction, but now grief. You see, sometimes God reveals himself most clearly during our most difficult moments. The times when we look into the Word of God and God clearly establishes who he is. He clearly establishes his character. So many times it was in the midst of difficulty. It was in the midst of trial. It was in the midst of trouble. It was in the midst of heartache and heartbreak. And God revealed himself a certain way. And today we celebrate how God revealed himself, but we forget about the people that were there experiencing it. You got a lesson, but it came at their expense. And sometimes God will put you in the middle of pain so that he can reveal himself to you. Sometimes God will allow you to experience trouble so that he can reveal himself to you. Why? Because he's trying to get more grace into your life. He's trying to get more power. He's trying to get more of his love. He's trying to get more of his blessing. So you'll find yourself in the midst of a storm, in the midst of a valley, and you say, God, what am I doing here? And God's saying, I want to reveal myself to you in a greater measure so that I can increase the grace of your life, so that you can do what I've called you to do and operate in supernatural strength in your life. You see, today, if you know, and when I say know, I mean you personally know, not you think, not somebody told you, I mean you know, you personally know. If you know that he's a savior, that means you needed to be rescued. This morning, if you know he's a healer, it means that you were sick. If you know that he's a restorer, it means that you were broken. If you know he's hope, it means you are hopeless. If you know he's a provider, it means you experience lack. If you know he's a comforter, it means that you've experienced loss. If you know today that he's peace, it means that you are stressed out and anxious about other things. If you know he's your defender, it means that you've been attacked before. And if you know he's your deliverer, it means that you have been bound. And if you know he is your strength today, then it means at one time you were weak. And in the midst of all of these challenges, God showed himself in our lives, and in our challenge, God opened up our minds and our hearts to see him and to know him in a brand new way. The Apostle Paul knew what this was like. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he writes and he says, I begged the Lord 3 times to take this problem away from me. Now, we don't know what the problem was, but we know that it was severe. For Paul to 3 times come before the Lord and to beg the Lord 3 times to take this away from me. But he said to me, my grace is enough. My grace is enough. When you are weak, my power is made perfect in you. Can I tell you this morning, don't curse your problem. Find God in the midst of it. Don't complain about your crises. Instead, find God in the middle of it. Don't just mindlessly wish that your current circumstances would come to an end. No, instead, find God in the center of it all. And as you find God in the center of it all, and you get to know him more, standing in the middle of your grief, and standing in the middle of your pain, and standing in the midst of your adversity, when you get to know him more, he expands the capacity for grace so that you can live in a grace that you have never lived in before. I believe today God's saying the same thing to you that he told the Apostle Paul all those years ago. My grace is sufficient, but please, God, take it away. No, my grace is sufficient. Oh, God, please let this be over. No, my grace is sufficient for you. I want to expand the capacity of your grace so that I could get more love, more favor, more blessing, more power down into your life. See, whenever you discover God and you begin to learn more and more about him through the Bible, you begin to learn more about him through instruction, and you begin to learn more about God through grief, you find out that he's a big God. Find out that he's a big God. He's bigger than your problems. He's bigger than your dysfunction. He's bigger than your issues. You find out that his grace is bigger than you thought it was. His mercy is bigger than you thought it was. His unconditional love is bigger than you thought it was. You see, whenever you get to know him more, you find out that he's really bigger than you thought, and he's big enough to handle everything that you have gone through in your past, and he's big enough to handle everything in your future, and his grace will be there with you, walking with you, speaking to you, always supporting you and strengthening you, no matter what you go through. Come on, will you stand with me this morning?
Thanks for listening today. We hope you were encouraged by the Word of God. If you would like more information on North Point Community Church, you can find us online at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com.